The Campari is brought to you by...
We are so excited about what we were able to design. Let me stop saying we. What I was able to design on the House of Campari merch store. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our merch. Limited supply. We will be relaunching new merch very, very soon. So if you don't want to miss out on some of our fall and Halloween inspired merch, t-shirts, mugs, all kinds of things, and sweatshirts, because it's getting cold eventually in most places, head on over to houseofcampire.com and don't forget to get something for yourself and maybe for a family member. The holidays are right around the corner. More information will be available in the description of this episode. If you watch me on the Campari Daily YouTube channel, you know anytime that I'm live, I always have my Coldest water bottle near me. We've been partnering with Coldest for almost 2 years now. Head on over to Coldest.com and check out their whole assortment of Coldest water bottles that come in multiple colors, multiple sizes, and keeps your water cold for 36 plus hours. But Coldest has launched multiple new products, including pillows, sheets, but they also have coolers, ice packs. I've gotten a whole assortment of things from Coldest. But don't forget to use the discount code KEMP10 for 10% off of your order. Head on over to Coldest.com. More information will be available in the description of this episode. And thanks so much for supporting our channel.
You're listening to The Campire here on the Campire Radio Network.
Say, feel that bass. We gon' shake up this place. Say, pick up that bass. Yeah, we got no time to waste. Everybody say, feel that bass. Yeah, we gon' shake up this place. Pick up that bass. Yeah, we got no time to waste. Say, dreams to chase. Yeah, we ain't losing this race. Say, we got faith. Yeah, we know what it's gon' take. Ain't nobody gotta do for me what I do when I do it so beautifully. All I gotta stay is true to me. Yeah, stay winning is a mood to me. Ay, ain't nobody gotta do for me. Yep, what I do when I do it so beautifully. All I gotta stay is true to me. Say what? Stay winning is a mood to me. Ay, I said.
It's a new episode of The Campire here on the Campire Radio Network. And if you're watching this, you're watching this on the Campire Radio YouTube channel. And every once in a while, I'm going to switch up the cameras depending on what I want to do and maybe switch up where I record this. But let's get into some hot topics. I have to talk about Juan Dixon. Sorry, Juan. We have to talk about some Real Housewives and reality TV news and some music news. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Campire Radio Network. I'm your boy, The Kempire, and let's just jump on in. First off, Beyonce. So there's a rumor going around that Beyonce is collaborating with Spatial Labs to create this Renaissance film. Okay, I'm just saying that because it's the era of Renaissance. As you know, people have been waiting on Act 2 and Act 3. I'm waiting, but I'm patient. I'm not like, okay, Beyonce, where is it? I'm excited for it. Well, according to multiple reports, she's collabing with Spatial Labs for this virtual reality experience. And if you remember, on the Kempire Daily YouTube channel, I did a report before Renaissance even dropped that we were going to get this more interactive experience. In my head, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to get intimate performance. Nope. It's going to be intimate, but it's going to be the intimate level of virtual reality in 2022. And look, I get it. It makes more sense. And I love the fact, and look, I'm not a Beyonce stan. I'm not a stan for anybody. Me and Beyonce are the same age. I can't stand her. I love her. I think she's very talented. But I remember when Beyonce debuted. So it's sort of like, okay, we're peers. You'll see my face when I say all of these things, guys, on the Kempire Radio YouTube channel when we upload the visual version. But Beyonce has continued, because I remember when Beyonce first came out, and I loved her, but I also was like, okay, if Beyonce is going to be on the level of a Michael Jackson, I need her to start innovating. And slowly but surely, she started doing that. And one of the tweets that, where they were talking about, not the tweets, a report, where they were talking about Beyonce, she really started doing this whole visual aspect during the B-Day project when we got a video for every single song. And then we got the visual album. We had never heard of a visual album. Then she dropped a Lemonade, a big surprise album. But here's my gripe. My gripe is with the industry. My gripe is with all of you artists, singers, songwriters, just artists, entertainers. Beyonce has raised the game. I thought after Lemonade that everybody and their mama would raise their game. And not a lot of people have. And I have to say, for the great majority, no one really has. And I'm not saying everyone needs to do that. Some people are just great artists that just want to play their songs and sing their songs. And I respect that. But some of you want to be a Beyonce. And first of all, you don't conduct yourself like Beyonce on social media. You don't conduct yourself or innovate what you do. So you can't be Beyonce. Not to say that you want to be Beyonce, but Beyonce learned from the greats too. But then she took it to a whole other level. To me, Beyonce is on her Michael Jackson-ish at this point. She is just every time raising the bar for herself. She's not thinking about anybody else. I remember Oprah said this a long time ago, and this is something that I always have to remind myself. Because the industry that I work in, just life in general, people, especially when they start seeing you do very well, feel like you're competing with them. One of the best things that I ever heard from Oprah was that she used to tell her producers at the Oprah Winfrey Show, let's not pay attention to what Phil Donahue's doing or this talk show is doing. Because she said, we saw so many different talk shows come and go over the years and they still were here. She said, no, keep your eyes focused on the prize, whatever that prize is. And don't pay attention to the chatter. Don't pay attention to everyone that is coming up or behind you, because it takes away from your focus. It takes away from you propelling yourself to that next step, to that next level of greatness. So I've always remembered that, and I believe that's what Beyonce does. She's not competing with any of these girls. At this point, no one can compete. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. People like to dog Beyonce and her vocals, which I'm always shocked about. And I'm like, have you heard Beyonce sing? I know in recent years, Beyonce has been doing that little sing rap thing. But homegirl is a powerhouse vocalist. Where we don't have a lot of powerhouse vocalists left on that level, she is a powerhouse vocalist. And you see a lot of that on Renaissance. Y'all gonna think I'm a part of the beehive, but I'm really not. I respect the work ethic, and I respect her upping her game every single time. With Renaissance, I was like, okay, Beyonce, the music is great. I love where you went, but I'm like, you did a lot more with Lemonade. What are you doing with this project? Well, as you know, Act 2 and Act 3 are supposed to be coming. We don't know what that is. People assume it's going to be visuals, but apparently, according to these insiders, people that have seen what Beyonce's doing, one tweet, I forgot what exactly he said, but he says, once I saw what Beyonce was doing with VR, virtual reality, the industry will never be the same.
What?
Really? I probably should play this. And I didn't think about this area. As you know, some of these big tech giants have been working on AI and virtual reality, and that was supposed to be the next level. So it's very interesting to see Beyoncé working with these companies to bring this. And it's not the first time that she worked with Spatial Labs. She did it before with Ivy Park. All right. As you know, straight shooter. I was watching TikTok, and this TikTok video showed up, and it talked about how Beyoncé, you know, Beyoncé has dominated and conquered so many areas of entertainment in this industry. One area that she has not really been able to propel herself at the same level is the clothing market. I know what you're thinking, but Ivy Park sells out all the time. But this video was talking about how Ivy Park, the social media aspect of it, continues to decline. And she's not doing that well in that industry. So I'm sure that is the next focus. I think once Beyoncé's done with this project, I think her next focus will be on doing what Rihanna has been able to do. Rihanna has been able to really catapult Fenty Beauty, catapult Savage Fenty. However, you may recall Rihanna, the actual fashion house, when they announced that, I was like, this is other level. Rihanna is launching her own high fashion house. Well, unfortunately, they put a pause on it. They never said it was done, because they're not going to be done with Rihanna. They see the potential of what she brings in this market. So Fenty is on pause, like Dorinda. So I always saw that for House of Darion, but that didn't happen. So I think that's something that Beyoncé wants to do, but she hasn't been able to really do on that level. But people still love Ivy Park. They love it, but it's not doing as well as people think that it's doing, according to this report. Okay? Speaking of Rihanna, as you know, Rihanna is going to be the headliner for the Super Bowl, but in a recent interview on the red carpet for a Savage Fenty, Rihanna did say that the Super Bowl is one thing, new music is another. Although we got two new songs from the Wakanda Forever soundtrack, I don't know if you guys have seen it. At the time of this recording, today is the premiere. Happy half birthday to me, and happy 11/11, 2022. Powerful day. I love 11/11. I'm born on 5/11. My half birthday is 11/11. Just saying. Coincidence, you think? Anyways. So everyone thought that, you know, new music. And Rihanna said in this interview that she knew when she put out this, you know, that she was going to be a part of the halftime show, that people were going to be like, oh my God, they're going to expect a new album. She was like, I need to go back to the studio. And I'm like, Rihanna, the album should have been done. The amount of times you've been in the studio. But look, she's been working on this for a few years. Doesn't mean that the album has been put together. She probably has quite a few songs. But I wonder, is it intentional that she took this break? Because remember, there was a period where Rihanna put out an album every single year. So I was like, I was okay with Rihanna taking a break. I was like, girl, take a break. That's what the artists used to do back in the day. Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Whitney Houston, they used to take 3, 4, 5 years before you would get a new album. But in this era, you can't do that anymore. Unless you're Rihanna. So Rihanna says those are two separate things, so don't expect a new project from her after the Super Bowl or before the Super Bowl. Maybe. But I'm excited to see Rihanna at the Super Bowl. To me, that's the only reason why I'm watching it. Let's be honest. I only watch because of that. The last big Super Bowl performance that I enjoyed was probably the collaboration with Shakira and J-Lo. That was really a good performance, even though J-Lo felt the way that she felt. J-Lo, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. J-Lo could have carried her own, and so could have Shakira. But I'm glad they did it together. To me, them doing it together was pretty cool. But I get it. They're both major stars. Speaking of major stars, Whitney Houston, may she rest in peace. First of all, also, may Aaron Carter rest in peace. And as soon as we found out that Aaron Carter, almost a week ago, passed away at his home in the bathtub, I immediately thought of Whitney Houston, because that's how she died as well as her daughter, Bobby Christina. So it's just kind of eerie. I'm just like, whoa. But one of the things, when I used to swipe through TikTok, and I love swiping through, like, the different lives that are going on, because you randomly find talented singers, just really talented or funny people. I've really discovered and made friends with people I just was, like, swiping through. So Aaron Carter was one of those people, and every once in, I didn't make friends with him, but I would swipe through and I would just watch. And a lot of times he wasn't saying a lot. He was just playing music or playing an instrument. But you could see the sadness that existed, that you could see the troubled spirit that he had during that time. So I wasn't surprised at the news, but at the same time, I was surprised. Nick Carter has released a statement. You know, a lot of people are remembering him. Just very, very sad situation. But with all that being said, when I was swiping through one time, he was playing some new music. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. This actually sounds really, really good. And I was never like an Aaron Carter stan. I remember Aaron Carter, but I wasn't a stan for Aaron Carter. I couldn't even tell you a song off the top of my head. But what he was playing, I was like, wait a minute, Aaron, this sounds good. No word on whether or not we will hear that music. I know he was working on several different projects. But Whitney Houston. So Pat Houston, who has been, you know, criticized for just dropping the bag when it comes to Whitney Houston's legacy. It feels like she was just always doing whatever she could do to make money. The hologram, the Lifetime movie, this and that and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people have been very critical of Pat Houston. Well, very much like in the vein of so many major artists, I think even Bob Dylan sold off their catalog. Tina Turner sold off the catalog. Future, I believe, is working on selling off his catalog. Lil Wayne. A lot of these artists are selling off their catalogs to these companies that can really manage their catalog, manage their likeness, manage all of what comes with that. So that's what that is. I know some people are like, why are these people selling off their catalogs? Because it's a lot to manage. And you might not have the expertise to manage something like that. And I don't know if they sell it off and then it's done. I think they might be done because a lot of them are getting big paydays for this. I don't know if I would do that, to be honest, me personally. But I don't have the I don't have the Whitney Houston catalog. So according to this new report, according to Primary Wave, they are the ones who bought the catalog from Pat Houston. Pat Houston says that, you know, she wanted to sell this off so that they could preserve Whitney's legacy, to remove the negativity that was surrounded around it. Okay. To me, it makes business sense for her to do that, and maybe Primary Wave will make better decisions when it comes to Whitney Houston's legacy. And I've already can see that when it comes to this new movie. I know you're thinking, we are done with the Whitney Houston movies. No, this is the way it should have started. With this particular movie, I Want to Dance with Somebody. They're not paying me, but they should. No, but it looks so good. It looks good, and it's from the writer of Bohemian Rhapsody. If you saw that, you know that was really good too. So I'm kind of, now that it's coming out now, I don't think it can be considered for the Oscars, not this year's Oscars, maybe for next year's, but I don't even think that's going to happen. But based off the trailers that I've seen, it looks really good, and it's coming in December. And this is a project that Primary Wave has been a part of. I've heard of Primary Wave before. They are, you know, they are behind some of the music catalogs of some legends. So they bought her, you know, Whitney Houston's likeness and catalog, and they will be probably rolling out a bunch of different things. Not probably, they announced that they'd be rolling out a bunch of different things, a Max Cosmetics thing or this or that. So this is all big business. I'm sure Pat Houston, the estate, got a pretty big payday. But don't forget, Sissy Houston is still with us, and I'm sure she's still taken care of by the estate of Whitney Houston. So at least, not just Pat Houston, but Pat Houston's husband, who is Whitney's brother, and Sissy Houston and her other family will be taken care of. And I think Whitney, who was already doing that while she was alive, would still want that to continue. Sidebar, shout out to Spice. Spice, the queen of dancehall. You know, there were quite a few rumors that Spice was in a coma, had a heart attack, that, you know, she had went to the Dominican Republic for some surgery and fell into a coma. Well, she broke her silence this week and said none of that is true. She actually had something else happen to her in regards to her health, but none of what we heard was true, that she died or that she had a heart attack. She said none of that is true, but she's on the mend and she's right now recuperating. So who knows? I'm just happy she's okay and she's not in a coma. Now, would it be a podcast if I did not talk about your dental health? Of course not. Of course, I'm going to tell you about the Quip toothbrush, my favorite toothbrush. I still use my Quip toothbrush. I still rely on them every single month, a part of their subscription service, to send me a new toothbrush head, replacement batteries for my toothbrush. But as you know, the Quip toothbrush is above all one of the best because it lets you know how long you should be brushing your teeth, when you should switch from one side to the next, from the top to the bottom. And like I said, they send you a if you have a subscription service, they will send you replacement heads every 3 months because that's how often you're supposed to be changing your toothbrush heads. Nasty. Check out Quip. There is a referral link in the description of this video. And there's no way that I'm talking about your teeth and I cannot talk to you about our water pick. Not our water pick. I didn't invent it, but it's my favorite. So it's like mine. My water pick is the best way. I have given up on flossing. I do not floss anymore. I rely on my water pick because water gets into places that floss just will never get into. Check out my favorite water pick that I've been using for a couple of years now. I told you it transformed my gum health. And as I've said before, your gum health, your teeth are so important when it comes to your heart health. Make sure you make that appointment. Let this be the reminder. Make that appointment for your biannual cleaning. Go to your dentist. Make sure you're taking care of your teeth and your gums. You can do that with a Quip toothbrush, and you can also do that with the water pick. A referral link is available, an affiliate link is available in the description of this episode. So sometimes when I'm planning what I want to talk about for the podcast, I'm like, oh, what do I want to talk about this week? And as you know, the podcast, it has varied. It's a place where we're able to talk about some of the things that we don't talk about anywhere else. But also, it also is the same place where we're able to talk about some of the things that we were talking about, but then I have different thoughts days later, weeks later. We will get into some more hot topics, but a sidebar. You know I love a good sidebar. The holidays are right around the corner. You know I am the king of Christmas, self-proclaimed king of Christmas. So I'm already preparing. I will be probably tonight putting up my first tree, one of many. This is probably like my sixth tree. I have some small ones and I have a big one. And then this one's pretty big too, this new one. I love Christmas. It's the time of the year, but I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, so I never celebrated as a kid. I never got gifts like that, only from like extended relatives and things like that. So I love holidays. I love giving back during the holidays as well. But as you know, Thanksgiving comes first. So I'm looking forward to eating, traveling and eating. So I will be away that week. So just a heads up, I probably will have a podcast episode out before then. But just a heads up, I need to take the time. You know, I've been talking about, you know, my health and making time for my health. You know, I met with my nutritionist. I joined a new gym. Because I was like, you know what? I was trying the working out at home situation. It wasn't working for me. You have to know yourself. Know thyself. You got to know if it's going to work for you. I was just talking about that during the Kempire Con podcast episode. I knew. If I did not get a hotel nearby the Javits Center, I was not going to make it all those days for BravoCon. Know thyself. Working out at home, yes, I will still do it. You know, I still have my Peloton. I'm going to still do it. However, if I really want to take my exercise to the next level, like I'm literally sore right now. I just went to the gym. Literally sore. So I'm prioritizing my health. Before the new year, because you know, come the new year, all these new people are at the gym. So I'm prioritizing my health because I'm also getting older. So what I used to do when I was, you know, like 20 or, you know, early 30s, I could get away with. I'm getting older. I got to do a little bit more, you know? So I'm trying nutritionist, because that's the most important part when it comes to diet. You know, when it comes to if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to get fit, if you're trying to be healthy, even if you didn't work out, if you did your nutrition, that would make a whole hell of a difference. So I'm working on it. As I take a sip from my cassava shake. They're not a sponsor, but they should be. All right. So I'm getting ready for the holidays. I'm actually really excited. This is, you know, I don't really love the cold, but I love, even though it hasn't been cold in New York, literally today it's hot and humid. It's November. Anyways, so I'm getting ready for the holidays. I'm excited for the holidays. I'm excited for what we're going to do on multiple platforms. So if you're not following us on other platforms, you might be missing out on things. Okay, self-promo. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing out on random tweets that I post that I don't post anywhere else. On TikTok, you're missing under a minute recaps, hot topics, and things like that. I will eventually post them on other platforms, but that's where it goes first. That's where it goes first, so follow me there. Everything's at The Kempire. Everything's at Kempire Daily, at Kempire Radio. Be sure to rate and review the podcast as well, because it does matter, all right? Anyways, Wendy Williams, I can't help it. Every time we do a podcast episode, there's something to talk about when it comes to Wendy Williams. So Wendy Williams, the last time we reported on Wendy Williams, they were saying that she was reaching out to friends, looking to party. This was according to reports. Well, now, Lori Schiller, you know, the woman that was the financial, no, she is the financial advisor at Wells Fargo over Wendy Williams' accounts. As you know, right now, Wendy Williams has a financial guardian that oversees her finances, and she's only given as much as she needs for her livelihood. Lori Schiller, though, did an interview for the very first time with the New York Post, and she revealed that she lives like a prisoner in her own home because of death threats. She says she has 24-hour armed security that's paid for by Wells Fargo. But in this interview, she also blasts Wells Fargo for not saying more publicly. She's saying that she's not the one that initiated this guardianship. This was Wells Fargo. And I know, I've seen your response. When we did a separate video on the Kempire Daily YouTube channel, a lot of you are saying, Wells Fargo should not be doing this. Wells Fargo should not be doing this. But based on what we've seen in the last few months with Wendy Williams, we already know Wendy Williams is not right now capable of managing her money. Based off what we've seen, and she's dealing with addiction, according to her ex-husband, according to the Hollywood Reporter expose, where they talked to some of her past executive producers of the Wendy Williams show. So she's dealing with a lot. So according to Lori Schiller and Wells Fargo, they believe that she was under undue influence of people around her. And based on what we've seen recently, we can believe that. So as a bank, and I know we can be very critical of Wells Fargo, and we will be, it seems in this particular situation, they were doing the right thing. Because we have to remember, Wendy Williams, in that bank alone, I don't know if she has other accounts. I don't think so, because the way that she was fighting for this particular account says to me that she didn't have her money in other places. Which, sidebar, although I do think Wells Fargo is doing what they're supposed to be doing with the Wendy Williams situation, this is why you shouldn't keep all of your money in one bank either. Because God forbid something does happen with another bank. Just saying. Kanye, you're supposed to get your money out of J.P. Morgan by this month. What's going on with that? We're not going to even talk about Kanye. I'm done with Kanye. I put him on pause, like Dorinda. Sidebar. So Dorinda, a lot of sidebars. Dorinda, apparently, along with Jill Zarin, Kelly Bensimone, Countess Luann, and Sonia Morgan are going to be coming to the Real Housewives of New York Legacy show, according to this new report that came out today. A lot of people are saying, without Bethany, without Ramona, then what do you really have a show? I mean, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to watch Luann and Sonia's show, their little other show. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to give it a shot. Kelly, for me, was never that girl. I'm surprised that people even want her back. She was just always just weird to me. I mean, even before Scary Island. Also, another sidebar. Bethany has a new podcast called Rewise, where she's interviewing and talking about, you know, talking with other people about episodes and spilling tea about, you know, she's doing a podcast like so many people have done podcasts where they're rewatching old Housewives episodes and reacting to them. But Bethany, as you know, has some behind the scenes tea, and she's dropping all of that. And people have been critical. Countess Luann has been critical of her doing that. Countess Luann, of all people, you should never say a hot damn dog word about Bethany Franco, because when you were at your lowest, Bethany was there by your side. The one person that you would never think was there by your side was Bethany. So I would never say anything. Even if you felt that way, I'd be like, you know what? Good for her. You know, she was there for me during a dark time. I will always speak good of Bethany Franco. But it's Countess Luann. It's Countess Luann. So I already know that Bethany was not going to be on this legacy show. And I already knew, Ramona had already confirmed when she was on Carlos King, that she was not going to be a part of it. And it's probably because they wanted to distance themselves from Ramona because of the investigations. And she was recently exposed by Ebony for what those investigations were about. Apparently, she says some very racist things. She says that they weren't corroborated. But Ebony says, well, two of the investigations corroborated the information. So Bravo has been distancing themselves from Ramona. I think they initially really thought that maybe with some time people would forget, but people have not forgotten. But there are a sector of people that really are like, well, legacy without Ramona is just not a legacy. But here's the thing too. The big problem, I know a lot of people accuse, what's her name? Leah and Ebony for ruining Roni, but I don't think that was it. Now we're going to get Roni again, legacy, and it's going to be all mostly single women. And it's not really the Real Housewives of New York anymore. It changed. It evolved. So I don't think it was just Ebony and Leah that were a part of what went wrong with season 13. I think it was people were kind of tired of the cast that we had. And those ladies had been there almost since the beginning, the good majority. Luann, Ramona, Sonia was there, what, in season 3? So I don't know. I will definitely give it a watch. I'm definitely interested. Speaking of reality TV, I've been watching Dubai Bling. Y'all told me, Kempire, have you seen Dubai Bling? The way that you guys made it seem, I was missing out on the best show in the world. And I appreciate it because sometimes it is. I don't think it was that with this show. Mm-mm. Yes, I love seeing Ibrahim. He is a messy, 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 messy one. Ibrahim. But they were also giving us the lifestyle that a lot of people were expecting to get from The Real Housewives of Dubai. But to be honest with you, I preferred The Real Housewives of Dubai than what we got with Dubai Bling. Yes, we got the lifestyle and we saw these fancy da-da-da-da. But a lot of that is very much like what people were assuming with The Real Housewives of Dubai. It's a lot of it is not necessarily what you think. I remember someone in the comment section when we were talking about Dubai Bling, she said there are a lot of millionaires that live on credit cards in Dubai, allegedly. But it was decent. That coffee scene in Dubai Bling, I was like, what in the hell? But I don't even care about the coffee scene. My thing is like, damn, Queen of Versace, who I love, Zayna, why are you in such a small office and you are the Queen of Versace and you are the boss there? I thought that was so strange to me. It still like sticks out in my head. Forget everything else. But Bravo producers, I don't know if you listen to the podcast. Y'all need to get Safa. But I just saw photos at some sort of Versace event of Lisa Milan and Shanna Ion. And they were with Farhana, who was the influencer that was on Dubai Bling. And I was just like, uh-oh. But according to my sources, some of these ladies have auditioned for different shows that in Dubai. So some of those Real Housewives of Dubai were being considered for Dubai Bling, vice versa, allegedly. But Dubai is not that big, so I'm not surprised that these ladies may know each other. Dubai, I hope Real Housewives of Dubai season 2 is so much better. I think season 1 was solid, but we've got to figure it out. It's got to be more interesting and more entertaining than what we got. You know what I mean? If we didn't get Shanna Ion and those Ionisms, I don't know what we would have done. Honestly, I don't know what we would have done. For me, that's why she was the breakout star. It was just like, wow, like we were not expecting. And then just like, so many layers to her personality and to her trauma and just fun. And I don't know. But that's not the only show that I was watching on Netflix. I was watching Love is Blind season 3. So I'm not going to talk about all the other couples. Look, yes, you always feel one way at the beginning and then you get to the end. You're like, oh, so that person wasn't the way that you thought that they were, Raven. But the big thing for me that stands out to me is how many people are rooting for Cole and feel so bad for Cole's white tears. I'm going to say it's the podcast that will be eventually on YouTube because that's exactly what it is. And the way that they have vilified Zainab, Here's the thing. I didn't like Zainab in the beginning. I felt like, oh, Zainab, here we go. Here we go with the passive aggressiveness. Here we go with the insecurity. All of those things, I thought, until she was pointing out all the things that he had been saying and doing that just didn't make the cut, that did not make it on air. And yes, they played that one scene, but even that one scene told me more. And this is why I always say perception is an interesting thing, because everyone perceived it differently. They're like, see, she mistook it. She misunderstood what he was saying in that moment. I did not. You can literally tell from her body language. She's holding her arm over her stomach. She literally says at the end, I can't remember her exact words, but she basically says what she wants to say, she can't say. And I believe that he was gaslighting her and manipulating the audience with those tears, because he knew that people were going to have an adverse reaction to him. And I have to say, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if the editors had it, they would have put it in. Oh, really? I need you to go through the history of reality TV. There are producers, if they like you, or if there's a specific story that they want to tell, they will edit all those things out. Editing does change the perception of a situation. And I'm not saying that Zainab is innocent. However, I definitely believe Zainab when she literally outlined everything that he said and did during the season that just didn't make it. And now, because of editing, everyone thinks that she's the villain. I don't think so. I don't think she's innocent, you know, because no one's innocent in a relationship. Everyone plays a part. But I do believe that Cole is not as innocent as people want to make him out to be. And to me, it's so telling why people are defending him. It's societal. It's cultural. It's something that we have done for so long. And this is why men that look and act like Cole have gotten away with very much what he's done for years and decades. That was my perception. And I know a lot of the fans of Love is Blind feel differently. They feel like, you know, the real villain of season 3 was the knob. I don't think she's a villain. I don't think that she would intentionally say those things about Cole if there was an actual validity to them. But reminder, at the reunion, when he starts crying, he says over and over again, I never thought that I would say those things. Go play back that moment. He's literally admitting in that moment that he did say those things. He did make her feel that way. And look, we know, look, there are things that I probably say that offend people that I didn't know, especially as a Taurus. Sometimes we're just so blunt. People are just like, oh. So there are things that people say that we don't know that they're going to react that way. I've had that situation with friends who, like, you know, they had a whole perception of something that I said. And I was like, really? I didn't realize that. So it's very much, it could be that with Cole, but that doesn't make Cole innocent. Damn, I went in on that. Because I've seen because you know how Twitter is. Twitter is a hot mess right now. Anybody can be verified. You get a verification. You get a verification. You get a verification. I got a verification. But I've always had Twitter blue. Because as a professional who uses social media, Twitter blue has some really great benefits. I've had it for, oh my God, probably almost two years. But I should have been verified otherwise anyway. I've been on television. And no, I'm not talking about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I was on television before. I was on The Insider. Remember The Insider? When I interviewed Oprah 12 years ago. And I've been in multiple publications. Look, it's a whole situation, but Elon Musk is a whole situation too. That's a whole... Look... This is why I love the podcast, because we talk about everything and anything, okay? Sidebar. Oh, I know. You know what this episode is going to be called? Sidebar. This week, we have our Tuesday Takeover, which grew from on the Campfire Del YouTube channel. It went from our 90 Day Fiancé recaps to TLC Takeover to Tuesday Takeover, which is a mashup of reality TV news, pop culture news, those kinds of things. Well, because Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has been so bad this season.
That's not really upsetting to me, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't say that.
Or it's been so bad this season, I was just like, I'm either going to not go live and recap the show, Which would be very weird because I recap all of The Real Housewives, even OC, which is a show I recently got into. But I said, you know what? No, we're going to turn it into Thirsty Thursdays. And now all we talk about on Thirsty Thursday, it's not pop culture news. It's reality TV recaps and reality TV news if it develops. So some of the shows that we covered Below Deck Adventure, which I'm not loving this. You know, this is their first season. I'm not loving it. We talked about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We talked about, of course, Love is Blind, season 3. We also talked about A Dubai Bling. But the news that we talked about was Robin Dixon and Juan Dixon. So before we get to the Juan Dixon part of this, Robin has been facing a lot of backlash, and the producers of The Real Housewives of Potomac have been facing backlash for colorism. So the conversation of colorism has come up multiple times over the last few years because, you know, Candace brought it up, Dr. Wendy Acefo brought it up. And look, I'm not denying that colorism exists, but I, at the beginning, when they first started bringing this up, I thought it was interesting, the person that brought it up, Candace, and I was just like, well, you weren't saying this before. And I'm not saying that it didn't exist, but I was like, you weren't saying this before until Dr. Wendy brought it up. However, I agree with people that are calling the producers out this time for this season, because literally when Robin was making a big deal to Dr. Wendy Acefo, sidebar, in a new interview, she said she's the meanest person on the show. And I was just like, really? On this show? On Potomac? And then all the conversation about colorism, now it's in my head and I'm thinking, are you just saying this? And she might be saying this, not even realizing that she has these blinders on. But she's the meanest. Dr. Wendy? Unless Dr. Wendy is doing stuff that we're not seeing on camera, she's definitely not the meanest on this show. Okay? But when she denied stepping to Dr. Wendy at that twerk it party, whatever it was, and Sharice had to stop her, and she calls Sharice, and Sharice's like, no, that didn't happen. And they played it. I was like, okay, producers. But when Robin was like, you know, you saying that I'm aggressive and da-da-da, that can hurt people's businesses. That was a perfect opportunity, though, for the producers to play all the times that Robin was aggressive. When she was in Ashley's face in the early seasons, when she was in Monique's face in the early seasons, even last season, there was this level of aggression from Robin. I don't know where it's coming from. You all speculate that it's coming from because of the Juan Dixon situation that we're about to talk about. I don't know what it is. I can see why people feel there's a level of colorism going on with The Real Housewives of Potomac. But let me warn you of something. If we're going to have a conversation of colorism, let's have an educated conversation of colorism. Let's be reminded that it's rooted in racism. Let's be reminded that it was encouraged, okay, by the slave masters to separate us as a people. And I can already see that's exactly what it's doing. So let's not allow this conversation of colorism to separate us even more. Okay, because this separation is part of the reason why when Kanye says something anti-black, nothing happens. But when he says something anti-Semitic, all the things happen because they are unified in understanding and supporting each other. Let's not allow this conversation. Yes, let's have the conversation of colorism, but let's not allow the conversation of colorism to separate us. Juan Dixon. I am so glad that Juan Dixon is not right here right now because I need to talk about him. So I did a whole report talking about this recent article, this lawsuit that came out, this complaint that came out against the University of Coppin State University. So a former student is accusing a former assistant coach who was also a former student of harassment, SA, certain words we can't use here on social, on YouTube and platforms, and all the things of setting him up, of harassment, all kinds of things. But also in this complaint, this person is accusing Juan of having knowledge of it and doing nothing. And even allegedly covering it up. At one point in the complaint, they said that Juan told this student that this former assistant coach had mental health issues and he was aware of it. This is giving me, you know, like after school special situation or the throwback to what, you know, high school and college where they protect their favorite athlete. That's the vibe that I'm getting. Do I think that has ended even in 2022? No. We know very much so in the world of sports, schools will protect athletes because it's a major moneymaker for colleges. And yes, a lot of you have been linking me to the finances of Coppin State. Allegedly, their finances have been suffering and their enrollment has been down in the last few years. I think, believe someone said, like 2015, allegedly. So this might be a major problem, not just for Juan Dixon, but for the university as well. But now that this complaint has been filed, they are going to have to investigate. And hopefully Juan Dixon protected himself and covered himself and did report it to his athletic director, because the athletic director is also being accused of not doing what they're supposed to be doing. As you know, I have a history of working in human resources, so I have an understanding that when you are aware, especially in a managerial level like Juan, you are a mandated reporter. I mean, we all are, but more, definitely as a manager, if this is reported to you, you have to bring it up. And now here's the thing. This is a very tricky area for Juan because this story would have been a story. It would have been a story. I'm sure a blog or two would have picked it up. But because it's associated with Robin Dixon from Bravo, from The Real Housewives of Potomac, and millions of people watch it, this has brought more eyes and more. Look, we're talking about it. I normally probably wouldn't talk about this. Here we're talking about sports again. Here we go. Well, I've been covering a lot of sports lately. I even was talking about Kyrie Irving this week. But this is a very serious and touchy case. As I said to you before, a lot of you have been sending me a lot of information. A lot of you have been on this person's, the person being accused, you've been sending me his LinkedIn and possibility of more victims, allegedly. We shall see. I'm going to pay attention to how this plays out. But you know, we have our DMV sources. A lot of you have been spilling all kinds of tea in my DMs. I got to go clean that up. Are you following us on TikTok? Well, there's a reason. You're missing out on under a minute recaps, under a minute hot topics, just some fun moments that I don't share on Instagram, Twitter, or on YouTube. Follow me on TikTok at The Kempire because you will also be there for our live watch parties. Sometimes we watch some of your favorite reality shows live on TikTok with commentary from me. Head on over to TikTok, follow me at The Kempire, and follow our backup page at Kempire Daily. And if you haven't already, be sure to follow the Kempire Radio YouTube channel. We're almost at 200,000 subscribers on the Kempire Daily YouTube channel, but I assume you're already following and subscribed there. But no, check out the Kempire Radio YouTube channel for some of our past interviews with some of your favorite people like Music Soul Child, Brandy, and TV icon Oprah Winfrey. But also you get a visual version of the podcast on YouTube. So follow us and subscribe to the Kempire Radio YouTube channel. Don't forget to like, comment, and turn on your notification bell so you don't miss out when we have our live visual premieres every single week. Head on over there and thanks again. Because I'm recording and more than likely this will come out on 11/11/2022, right? Okay. Let's talk about manifesting. A lot of you have been asking me, how do I manifest? You know, what's the whole idea about manifesting? That is a long conversation. But one thing that I think is important is the conversations that we are having with ourselves, the things that we constantly tell ourselves. A lot of people are always saying to themselves, I can't do that, I'm tired, or you make all kinds of rationalizations of why certain things can't happen in your life. I've gotten out of that. I'm still guilty of it. Don't look, because I'm human. Things happen. There's still things that I say to myself and I'm like, always have to catch myself and like, no. But I will also put post-its up in areas of my house where when I wake up in the morning, I want to say to myself, you know, something amazing is happening for me today, or something amazing is going to happen to me in November. But it's also about saying it, believing it, and then letting it go. Because some people will say it, do it, and then it'll be like, okay, that's A week later, it didn't happen. I guess this is not working. No, there is a level of believing without connecting to it anymore and just letting it be. And then you'd be surprised when it shows up, you're like, oh, damn. There's so many examples of this that I've seen in my life over even beyond, you know, quitting my job and doing this. I've been setting myself up. Like, I could have probably done this a long time ago, but right now is the exact time. And then now I feel like now that I've started this journey, it's just more and more and more and more. But there's plenty of things that I want to manifest. One of the things that and writing it down is important, but here's the thing. I know you'll probably see all kinds of people talking about, you should do this, you should write this down. All of those things work, but they work because you are putting the belief into them working. You don't need to do any of those things. All you need is your brain. All you need is the belief. All you need is yourself. You don't need to do anything. Yes, those things help people manifest because they feel they need that those things to do it. You know, you'll see people writing on bay leaves. Or you see people writing, you know, in their journals. It's powerful to do those things. However, as you become a strong, powerful manifestor, Oprah recently said that she's like, she doesn't need to do any of those things. She can think it and it will be done because she's been practicing this for a very long time. And once you master it, you won't need any of those things. But if you're new to manifesting, then you should try those things. You should try writing those things down. I still write post-it notes, you know, affirmations to remind me, you know, when I start my day. And I will try a ritual. Okay, calm down. Not that kind of ritual. Like if someone tells me, one of the things that I do at the top of the month, I'll put some cinnamon because cinnamon is supposed to be very powerful when it comes to manifesting especially for abundance. And I'll blow some cinnamon through my front door if it's going to bring me some abundance. What does it hurt? What does it hurt? Not a thing. So because it is 11-11, my half birthday, happy birthday to me. Anyways, I really don't celebrate. I didn't do anything for my half birthday. It's just kind of cool. Like, wait, my half birthday is on 11-11, 2022. Come on. It's a powerful day to create what you want in your life, but you can do it whenever. It doesn't have to be 11-11. It can be tomorrow. It can be 11-12, 2022. It could be 12-12, 22. It doesn't matter. What matters is your belief behind what you're trying to create. Okay? And you, as you are figuring out and becoming a master at manifesting, you figure out what works for you and your mindset, because everyone's mindset's different. Some people already, you know, they've been developing this mindset for a very long time. So sometimes it makes it harder for them to manifest because they've been so negative or so rational for a very long time. They can't see past the impossible. Like, they make things impossible. Like, there's no way I can make that amount of money in this amount of time. Says who? It happens every day. There are examples of it every day. You can even ask the universe, show me examples of people that are doing the impossible. Like me. Look. Because some people do say that. Some people say, you know, seeing what I've done in the last year, they're like, damn, how did you do that? It does take a level of bravery. But it also took years of me getting to this point. I've been doing this. Go check the Kempire Radio YouTube channel. I've been doing this for 15 years. And still trying to feel like, how can I make this like my full-time job? It took 15 years before I made it my full-time job. But now that I've started, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. So one of the things that I posted on Twitter today was that I want to, because I've been on a Puma kit. I love Puma. Puma, I don't know what you guys are doing, but whoever creates the athleisure, Sheree, you could have learned a thing or two. She could have learned a thing or two. The Puma athleisure stuff, I'm going to be all Puma'd out. Okay, they're not paying me, but they should. And they will. So I posted on Twitter today. I was like, Puma/Apple collab coming in the future. I'm manifesting that. I would love to do that. I would love to, because you know what? Anyone that I promote or collaborate with, I actually use. And I love me some Puma. I love their athleisure. Recently, I had a whole little shopping spree. I was like, I need some stuff. I was, you know, certain things aren't fitting the way that they used to. But also, I'm not one to shop a lot either. So, especially after the pandemic, I wasn't going out like that. So I was like, I don't really need anything. Especially I'm on YouTube. All I really need is a top, a lovely top. But now I'm going out. I'm doing things. The world's opened up. I'm traveling. So I was like, let me see. And I was like, damn, Puma has some really cute stuff. And then something in my brain was like, you know what? It would be fantastic to get a Puma deal. And it would be fantastic to be one of the first that does what I do to get something on that level. And, you know, some people are like, oh, maybe people get real scared. Maybe I shouldn't share that because, you know, people want to put their stank and their bad energy on it. No one can change your destiny. If you truly believe that that's what you can achieve, not one person can do anything to stop it from happening. Only you can. So I'm not even putting that into the universe. I'll look back at this video. Remember when he talked about the Puma and Apple collab? Here we go. Guys, I hope that this podcast and everything that we do on multiple platforms continues to inspire, continues to entertain. When you all send me messages of, you know, you got me through the pandemic, you got me through the death of my mother, you're getting me through a work day, that I cannot tell you. I know it sounds corny, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It is so inspiring. It's so uplifting. It's so confirming that this is who I am and this is where I need to be. Glory. This was a long podcast episode, but it was necessary. I know you all have been waiting for a new podcast episode. As I said to you before, this is where it all began. This is where it will continue to be. But don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms. But more importantly, whatever platform you're listening to this podcast, rate and review us 5-star. Look, I'm going to encourage you. Like, I'm not going to even just tell you to rate. 5-star rating and let us know what you love about the podcast. Because it does matter. Bethany just launched her second podcast. Guys, as always, thank you in advance. I will see you in the next podcast episode, the next video, or on Twitter. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for tuning in to The Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. The Kempire Radio Network is available on Google and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more information is available at kempireradio.com.